What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back again to talk 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. It's week number 7. Can you believe it? Because I am back here with the guy who follows the 90 Day Fiancé 52 weeks out of the year. Here he is, Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. Zero bad things about him. He is a perfect treasure. Here is Pouya Zanvakili.
Hey, back at it again, Rob. We don't sleep. 90 days doesn't rest. Neither do we.
No.
We're back once again. I also would like to apologize for walking in on you and Sam earlier. I just had to pick up my brush.
Yes.
But we're here now.
Did you get a good look?
I liked what I saw. For the record, I'm kidding. Please,
yes.
Let the record stay.
Yes. I was going to say that there is no wall of demarcation between you and outstanding 90 Day Fiancé coverage, Pouya.
Listen, we try, okay? We try our best. We try our best to do what we can, bring the people aboard the Hot Mess Express. And this season keeps on giving. So I'm very excited about today.
Yeah, and a wild episode. We have 7 stories to check in on today.
Everybody got a little bit. Everybody got a little piece of the pie today.
Yes, everybody. Look, when you're going up against maybe the greatest NFL game of all time, then you got to pull out all the stops. And that's what they're doing over at TLC.
And a lot of pulling out of the stops. A lot of pulling out of the stops here. But listen, that game was on another level. Are these people on another level? Some of them have the audacity on another level. So that's something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start with Gino and Jasmine, the Mahomes and Josh Allen of reality TV. Just going to be going back and forth, throwing some great content at us.
Definitely. No fumbles here, Rob.
Okay. All right. So Gino and Jasmine, of course, last week we had, the big knockdown, drag out fight over the Gino would not redecorate his apartment.
Yeah. Gino was not about to decorate his apartment. And Jasmine was big upset because it reminded her of his stupid ex-wife. And Gino had been very clear. Listen, just don't call her names. Like, it's fine. She's just my ex-wife. Why does she have to be stupid? And that was a big fork in the road for them.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick, if you told me there was one woman who got away from Gino and one woman that was trying to lock down Gino, and you had to ask me who might be the least not stupid of those two, I might say the woman who is actively not with Gino.
I think points were made. She made the right move. She is way smarter than she's being given credit for. And I respect Gino for noticing that. I'd be like, no, you know what? She was right. She deserves better.
Yeah, she saw what was going on here. And she left. Like, you're trying to get in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Joke's on you, Jasmine. All right. I thought this was a great metaphor for the Gino and Jasmine relationship. But Jasmine lays out 3 dresses on the bed. She says to Gino, "Gino, which dress should I wear?" He says, "Wear this one, the purple one." She takes the red one.
Without hesitation, she's like, "All right, this one it is."
Yeah.
Again, Gino's taste is in the bin for her. She doesn't trust his taste or his stupid ex-wife's taste. So
yeah.
I will say, Rob, this happens to me when people ask for my opinion and I give them a thought out opinion and they don't pick it. I feel a little hurt.
A little
especially
bit.
If it's someone that I know values me. Why?
Yeah. It's why did you ask me?
Exactly. You could have picked it. You had a choice. You already know. You already knew.
Yeah. I get caught up in the trap of that sometimes. My wife will ask me to which thing, this thing or this thing. And then I pick the wrong one. And then she's unhappy. And then I said, well, this was Why did you ask me to pick? You said this or this, and I picked it, and I picked one. And now, well, why did you ask me if there was a wrong answer?
It's entrapment is what mm-hmm. it is, Rob. You got duped.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So then I just have to guess what is the one she wants me to pick.
That's the name of the game. You have mm-hmm. to, the best of your abilities, pick the right one mm-hmm. that they want you to mm-hmm. pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Good news. Jasmine, she has finally gotten her divorce papers. 5 years she's been waiting, Puya.
Yay. Happy divorce to Jasmine. She is now free to be with Gino. And it's official. She's divorced. It's over.
Okay. So it's going to be a big party, a divorce party, because that's a thing, right?
Sure. I mean, I've never had to throw myself one. Hopefully never will have to throw myself one. But apparently this is a thing worth celebrating, Rob. You got your divorce. It's been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize divorce parties are pretty similar to like a bachelorette party, I guess.
Now, see, I had never heard of a divorce party before, but we also learned that even though Gino is only with Jasmine on location in Panama for a short amount of time, the divorce party had to be during this stretch. And also, Gino was not allowed to come to the divorce party because
Gino is not invited because, number one, that's creepy. You know, you don't invite your current boyfriend to your divorce party.
See, that's creepy, right? Like when you have a divorce party, you wouldn't invite the person you're seeing now to come to the divorce party. I mean, that's that. Duh.
It's an interesting take for sure. I feel like, wouldn't you want to celebrate it with the person that is now with you? I feel like that, the word creepy was the interesting insert here.
Look, Puya, come on. It's creepy. It's creepy. Yeah, you're going to have then the person, he needs to stay in the room by himself.
Well, that seems more creepy to me, quite frankly. She's like, yeah, you're here alone. Yeah, sit in this hotel room alone. Turn off the lights. Yeah, no,
I got to be honest with you. I think Gino's sitting alone in the room by himself with the 90 Day Fiancé producers and cameras where he's just sort of like moving things around on the floor. He's like, what should I do now? Let's see. There must be something else for me to do.
I'm convinced this dude packed and unpacked that stupid suitcase four different ways during that time. I will say, though, if the shoe was on the other foot and Gino was the one having a divorce party from his separation from his wife, Jasmine would be the first in line to pop champagne at this party.
I don't even know if it would be a party if Gino was getting a divorce. It would be some sort of like ritual sacrifice of like Jasmine's like, okay, now Gino, we will make a fire and we will burn all of her possessions. I think I don't think it would be like a celebration.
It's a bonfire. You're just throwing all the old assets in there, basically.
Destroy all of her stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Jasmine, she has to go. She tells him, eat something, take care, bye. Okay. Time to go to the party, which is in the same hotel.
Yes. In the same hotel, like what, two floors over, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So she goes to another place. Her friends are there. Leo, the hairstylist, is there.
Yeah, so her friend Leo's there, and initially the part I believe she had mentioned no boys allowed.
Yes.
No men allowed at this party.
Yes.
Yet here's Leo chilling at this party.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, he qualifies. There's gonna be another guy there too. We'll get to that. But she tries to like tell her friends, like, okay, get this, everybody. You won't believe what I am fighting about. So Gino has the nerve to, he wants to keep the colors that his ex-wife picked out. You have my back, right, everybody? You're crazy.
Yeah, they were like, you are on one. Stop it. Stop it, Jasmine. You're being ridiculous.
Puya, we got to hear a little bit of the details that, you know, when you and I talked, we said, oh, Gino got a good report card from Jasmine on the night that he first got together with her. He didn't go for the little blue pill, and he got, seemingly, he got a good report card, right?
That's what you would have gathered based on what we were told earlier, yes.
Instead, Jasmine now tells her friends that Gino, that first of all, she says he's at risk. He's an older guy. And then also she says that he almost died that night.
Yeah. So what we learned, Rob, today's lesson for the viewers, yes, is just because it goes longer and the time is long, you know, the reverse Hamza, if you will, doesn't mean that it's a great thing. Sounds like it.
Well, I'm concerned about Gino's health. We find out from Jasmine, he almost died.
I think if I'm going to translate this and be the translator egg here, I feel like what she's essentially saying is that Gino knows the basics, but then she put him through some more complex maneuvers and he could keep up, but like not keep up.
Okay. All right. Ding dong. Somebody's here. There's a stripper here for the divorce party.
As is custom, Rob, a stripper has to be at the party. Mm-hmm. And here comes the stripper. So it's very clear Jasmine didn't know about this. Did you come out here thinking the same way when she first saw the stripper?
I don't know. I think if you are one of Jasmine's friends, okay, I think you do not plan undiscussed surprises with Jasmine.
You feel like you wouldn't want the wrath of Jasmine.
Yeah. Like the stripper, maybe she likes it, but what if she doesn't? You know, like you're taking your life into your hands.
Well, like what you can do, kick the stripper out? Actually, yeah, that's exactly what she would do.
Kick you out.
Kick you out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obvious. It's very clear that her friends know that she is unhinged based on their response, yes, to the whole like colors of the house thing. So I think they know her enough to have made this calculated decision without her knowing. But that being said, you want to divulge to Jasmine because you never know what's going to go down.
You never know. Okay. The stripper is here and boy, things get wild, Puya.
What did you like better? This stripper?
Yeah.
Or the stripping we saw with Jovi and Yara story?
Oh, last season. I thought that you were going to talk about the stripping that happened, that the stripper that Tariq bought for Hazel.
Or that one. Damn, there's a lot of stripper storylines here when you think about it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Jasmine seemed like she didn't skip a beat. Experienced the full stripper package.
She experienced the package. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, that this man was, you know, I don't know where the line was, but he's coming close.
Yeah. Can I say something? Suddenly, Jasmine's all about tipping, we learned.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She's suddenly tipping now. Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, this is so wild because Jasmine is unhinged. We have seen this woman explode because Gino tipped the waitress at a restaurant. She said, "What? Is there something going on between the two of you?" Because he tried to tip her. This woman is getting the stripper. Is on top of her, and she's like, "We are just having fun. It's not that big a deal. This is nothing."
Yeah, and I will say, I feel like there's varying ways of experiencing a lap dance, so to speak. Where, you know, for example, if you don't put your hands in the equation, I'm like, okay, you're kind of like, I have to take this lap dance because my friends gave it to me. Her hands were being used. So I was like, she was very much enjoying this.
Yes. I think there are varying degrees to which the person who is on the receiving end of an exotic dance is either an active or an inactive participant. Use it that it's like, okay, I'm being a good sport here versus I am fully engaged with what is happening to me.
Yeah, and she was fully engaged, like, more than engaged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. She is having a great time, and look, I don't know how the codes work over in Panama, but I feel like I think it's a common courtesy that the cell phone is probably checked at the door during. Any sort of time when the stripper is around.
Well, if that was a memo, I will say Jasmine's friends did not get that memo.
Yeah, maybe like, well, hey, look, this is on TLC. I'm not gonna put my phone away.
If they're gonna get footage, I want some footage of this too.
But I'm pretty sure, not that I am. This is an area of expertise for me, but I do believe that is frowned upon.
That's a great point. I mean, I've never, so obviously I know that if you go to an establishment where they do this, you're not going to have your phone out, right? Then the question becomes, for the private ones, is it the same? Maybe they pre-negotiated with this.
Dancer. Yeah. Well, look, maybe the stripper said like, please put the, I need this kind of publicity.
Like, how much for you to throw my handle in the corner of that video? Well, make that happen?
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. The friend has the cell phone out. This is probably not going to be good. I had no idea. I could not imagine that it would be so quickly something that would come to Gino's attention. Because the stripper leaves. Jasmine says, look, it's not that big a deal. Again, I don't necessarily disagree with Jasmine. However, comma, but this is also the same woman who that if Gino bumps into a woman at the counter of a restaurant when he is getting his takeout, she wants to know exactly what's going on.
Literally. Also, he can't tip at a restaurant without there being suspicions of him knowing or wanting something from that person. And you left this man and he's in a new country alone. You left him in the hotel room alone with like two cameramen. How you are putting him in such a bad spot. And then the worst thing you can do, which is about to happen.
Yeah.
Is let's go flaunt this in his face.
All right. Jasmine has had some drinks. Let's go find Gino.
Baby, I'm drunk. I'm wasted.
I know.
I'm wasted.
Are you, you feel good?
Yes, I want to be.
If you missed that, she said, I want pee-pee.
Yes. Mm. And listeners, you know what pee-pee means. We don't have to dive into this, but... she says this in front of her friends and Gino, who Gino has just met for the first time. Mm-hmm. And Gino looks like he doesn't know what to do with himself.
Yes. Okay. So she tells us that Gino has given her a fever. And a fever that she's going to violate Gino.
Don't love that. Do not love that.
I think Gino it would be consenting to be violated. I think. I don't think it would be against his will.
No, I don't.
Now it might kill him. We learned.
Yeah, he might have a struggle, but I don't think he'd mind.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, all of this is happening. Everything's looking good. She wants PP. I think he wants to also give PP. So everything's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Until the friends get involved.
So then the friends break out the phone and say, here, watch this. Like, what? What is this? The 90 Day Fiance reunion show?
Yep. Call one of them Sean Robinson because they just pulled out the clips.
Well, what the hell is this?
Rob, this is straightforward. Is if we're not getting any tonight... You're not getting any tonight, Jasmine. We're not letting that happen.
I guess they had so much fun at one divorce party. Maybe they want to start planning another one.
Get the sequel ready, right? It takes a long time. It's like a between Olympics here. They got to wait another 4 years for the next one. They might as well plan it from now.
Mm-hmm. So they show Gino the video. No setup. Gino, you're going to want to sit down. It's not like, Gino, we have to do you a solid. There's something that we need to show. Like Cheaters, like, Gino, we have footage that Jasmine has been with a stripper, and we can show it to you if you want. They just say, here, watch this. Like, you think you're going to be watching some TikTok or something.
Yeah. It's like, here's the clip. Watch this one. I watched this the other day. It's pretty funny. Like, that's literally the level they came in it with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they show Gino the video.
What is it?
Normal.
Standard stuff, Gino. Come on, get with it, stupid.
And if it's so normal, why did you show it to him?
I don't get it. And it made no sense to me.
Normal.
And Gino is taking a page out of Mike's book here, turning red like a tomato. And Rob, is he happy about this, you think?
He doesn't seem that happy.
Yeah.
For he's not giggling.
We literally talked about the schmo show last week. And I feel like we've already seen something that might shake Gino a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, why did you show this to me? Why did you? Like, he's not even like, why did you do this? He's more puzzled by, why did they show this to me?
He's not into it,
Rob. Do you think I want to see this?
I'd rather you kept it a secret. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you keep it a secret? Why would you show it to me? Are the friends trying to pull a fast one here, Rob? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
I just thought that was so interesting that Gino was like so focused on why did they show this to me as opposed to why did you do this?
It's Gino, Rob. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the answer to the question. We know it's going to take a lot for him to back out of this relationship. But I think he was just surprised because, you know, you think about it. If you meet anyone for the first time, if you meet anyone, your partner's friends for the first time, they're not going to come in with this super incriminating footage. They're not going to be that way. So it caught him by surprise, I think.
Yeah. So very surprising. Gino talked to Jasmine, and Jasmine's like, are you mad? You're mad. You're mad about this.
Yeah, but any other relationship would be mad, especially here. Mm-hmm. Again, Jasmine won't let him make eye contact with another woman. Eye contact.
Right, right. It's not like that they are cool like this, where...
Right.
Like, Jasmine has put him through hell so many times over non-starter infractions.
Jasmine's a warden, Rob. Mm-hmm. She's like, all right, give me your phone. All right, what's the password? Let's look through all the files. Let's look mm-hmm. through all the texts. Mm-hmm. Give me the screenshots every day.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this was wild. And he asks her, like, well, how would you like it if I was with some hottie? And he tells the whole thing. And Jasmine at least says, no, I would not like it.
Yeah. And apologizes, Rob. We got the first apology out of Jasmine for mm-hmm. Gino.
Yeah. Okay. So, congratulations for Gino getting an apology. They are off to go on the vacation that Jasmine insisted he buy for her from last week's episode when he didn't get her a Christmas present.
Yep, that's the next thing they're going to be doing. I still can't believe that that trip happened. She got that trip out of him and then did this. And now they're going to go on the trip. Yep. Is it getting rewarded for doing something wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's Gino and Jasmine. Anything else on Gino and Jasmine? Do we see them next week?
Yeah. So next week, Rob, we find out that one of Gino's exes Jasmine.
Yeah.
And that they're still talking.
Oh, he's dead. He's dead.
Yeah. He's not he's making dead. It out of this trip.
Yeah. You know, we were worried that, okay, Jasmine might kill him like in the bedroom. No, probably not. She will kill him, but probably not in the bedroom.
I don't think it'll get to the bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Puya, let's talk about Usman and Kimberly. Now that the video shoot is over, that there is now some time for Usman and Kimberly to really get to know each other. Maybe, perhaps, Kimberly could be more than just potential.
from potential to confirmed. Yes, I will say, Rob, we didn't see the Kimberly you wanted this week at all. We saw a whole new Kimberly. Yeah. She is a different person now that the video shoot's over. And Kimberly's whole mission now is, I need this relationship to be dialed into the romantic. Mm-hmm. Now that the, mm-hmm. you know, now that the business stuff's over, it's time for the pleasure stuff.
Yeah. And it seems like that in almost every 90-day fiance story, there is one partner who is like, hey, all right, let's get this moving. Let's go faster, faster, faster. And then there's another person in the 90-day fiance relationship. This person is like, let's slow it down. Let's run out the clock a little bit. Things are moving too fast. So I got to slow it down, slow it down, slow it down. And that's a classic case here with Usman and Kimberly.
Right. And I think they're both like too extremely on one side or the other. Like Kim wants it all done tonight and Usman doesn't want them done ever by the feels of it. And you kind of got to go somewhere in the middle. That's like the ideal spot here. But for these two, Rob, it really feels like now there's no distraction. There's no excuse for Usman to not seek out the potential and see where it could go.
Excuse-mon. That's a better nickname than Soulja Boy for Usman. Usman also, I feel like, started referring to himself a lot as the King of Africa.
Yeah, that's not going to stick, Usman. Stop it. You're being ridiculous. I noticed that a couple of, he said it like 2-3 times this episode, like, stop trying to make this merch pop off. This is not going to happen for you.
Yeah. Okay. That's a big title.
It's a whole continent, Rob. No, it's not even close.
Yeah. Okay. So they're going to go to Stone Town. That's a place that's very nice. They take a nice ride that, you know, Soulja Boy, he says to Kimberly, I like you a lot. And Kimberly's like, well, I love you.
Yikes. That is not the response you should be expecting to hear. That is a good indicator of where they're at, though. Like, I think Usman is finally starting to, you know, put his toes in the water. And Kim's like, just dive in already. Like, why are you putting your toes? Just the water's great. Just jump in.
But yeah, they go to a marketplace and we see some hats. Maybe Soulja Boy should get a new hat. And ooh, look at this. This is a white fedora, just like what Michael Jackson wore in Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said hats. They were fedoras. It was just a fedora store, basically. Kim lets out more of her Michael Jackson obsession and really wants him to try on this fedora and says that, you know, you'll be like my personal Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And then he tips the cap a little bit, does a little dance. Stop it. You don't know what you're doing to me. And I wanted to evaporate from my chair. I wanted to leave. I was like, do not moonwalk. I beg of you, don't do it. Kim will not be able to handle it in this public area. Please.
Yeah, Kim was not okay. I get the sense that Usman is not necessarily like loving the Michael Jackson comparisons.
No, I mean, think about it. He's a musician. Michael Jackson was a musician. Michael Jackson was the king of pop. You're never going
to
compare
to the king of Africa.
And I think that's why he's trying to compensate. He's trying to be like, well, I'm the king of Africa. He was king. I'm the king of Africa. I'm the king of the whole continent. So he's trying, but I mean, I feel like you're not a good spot if you're going to always be compared to Michael Jackson there.
Okay. But Kimberly is saying that this was so great. Such a wonderful date. They sit down. Usman is getting tired.
You know, he's had a long trip, Rob. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah. And so Kimberly thinks this is the right moment. Okay. Usman, I know we talked about this, but tonight should be the night that you stay in my room.
Not just that, Rob. Give up your room and move in with me, basically.
Yes. I mean, she does have like the honeymoon suite. She's the best
room. She has the best room. She has the best room. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
Usman doesn't take well to this.
No. Usman, thought that they should wait until they decide to be boyfriend and girlfriend to stay in the, I mean, Usman has like more hoops to jump through than has, I mean, I guess that this man has been on 90 Day Fiance, but like, has this man ever been on a date before? Like, what, you know, how many sort of like, how much paperwork do you need to file? That is like, this is a million steps.
Listen, Usman's a hard man to please. That, and also, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
He has found the perfect person to put the, like, 12-step plan on here. Mm-hmm. Like,
212.
Yeah, she has to jump through all the hoops here, and I think he thinks his plan is foolproof, but Kim is not going to be, like, letting this go easy at all, Rob.
She's not letting it go because, you know, production Kim is going to show up because he's like, look, well, I'm just feeling like that maybe you're trying to, you know, grab something and go back so that even if it doesn't work out, you could say to people, well, at least I got with Soulja Boy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you, that your boyfriend goes to the gym. I slept with the king of Africa.
Yeah. You know what that makes me?
Relationships.
Yes. Yeah. So Kimberly is like, at this point, she's like, you know what? All right. You're uninvited. You're done.
Yeah. She immediately pulls the offer the minute he hesitates. Like, oh, you know what? I don't even care. I want to go home. I'll go back to the hotel. We're done here. And Usman's trying to do the thing guys do where we try and diffuse the situation by like saying something stupid. He's like, should I put my hat on? She's like, I don't care. I want to go to the hotel. Mm-hmm. Just let's get out of here.
She doesn't want to hold a hand. He's like trying to, you know, win her back over. But she's not going to beg. She has been attentive and loving. That's it.
Yeah. And I think it's very clear with Kim where she doesn't want to be made to look a fool on TV. And in moments like this where she's, you know, putting herself out there, being like, hey, you want to spend the night together? No. Well, I didn't want it either. Screw you. Yeah. I want to go to the hotel now.
Okay. Kimberly, she's feeling very defeated. Usman wonders, you know, if Kimberly is still pissed with him because, you know, his ex-wife made him do things he didn't want to do.
Yes. And she, you know, doesn't want to be like that. She tells us that she's not going to ask him about this on her trip again. Like she's done. Like he has to take the move. I will say though, I want to kind of shade Kim here in that you bought a room, you bought this big room, but y'all had agreed on separate rooms. So you told us you are a master of persuasion. You're going to, by the end of the trip, he's going to be in my room with me. So you can't be mad if your plan doesn't work because it was never agreed upon. You just blame your own skills for it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it could have worked. You know, here's the thing, like that Kim's plan was good if Usman actually wanted to have a relationship with Kim.
Yes. Yeah. And I will say, I think she potentially should have held onto those gifts for this time. Wait till after the video shoot for those.
Like that, you know, Kim's plan makes sense in a world where Usman actually wants to be in a relationship with Kimberly and not just be on television.
Right. And like it would work, you know, if you are both into each other and you've agreed to take it slow. This is exactly the natural time where you could see, okay, production's done. Mm-hmm. Let's hang out now.
Yeah.
But, okay. Again, Usman knows what he's doing.
Usman, what does he want? Peace.
That's it.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, me too.
I mean, I would love peace. I would love it. I would love to savor it, protect
it. I would love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
beautiful.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's you know, all I want too.
It's all we all really need. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what would Kimberly like? A peace. Of Usman.
That's right.
Yeah. But okay,
put
that's
the
it.
Fedora on the doorknob.
She is, you know, doesn't want to be controlling. 2 hours later. Okay. Well, yeah. I kind of wonder, like, just in my mind about the, like, production. Maybe you know a little bit more about this. Like, am I supposed to believe production sits there with a camera and they film Kimberly, like, just all night reading a book?
Definitely not, right? I'm assuming they're getting some B-roll and then maybe they're peppering her with some questions. Because I will say, when the camera people talk to the the 90 day people. It's very informal. It sounds like the parts we do see on the show. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just having conversations casually and then stuff comes up potentially here or there. That being said, how long is Kim spending reading this book?
I don't know. So Kimberly, she's up. All the lights are on, you know, the production people are still rolling and do they sleep in Kimberly's room? So a lot of unanswered questions. Anyway, knock at the door. It's Usman and he's coming, you know, fedora in hand to say, okay, I have reconsidered. I am going to sleep in your room tonight.
Wow. How the mind changes, Rob. Took 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But let's be clear. He agreed to sleep in the room. Just sleep.
Well, Kimberly says like, what should we do? Should we have a drink? Should we have sex? Just kidding. I'm not kidding. What should we do?
You know, if he's the king of Africa, she's the queen of unsubtlety.
Why? I'm just, you know, I had to try. Yeah. Usman says, no, look, that would be rushing it because we are taking a big step of sleeping in a room with a wall between us of pillows. That is a big step because look, we're not just gonna have sex.
I don't think in any culture you can just meet somebody and have sex with that person unless if you met prostitute and you are in need.
Yeah, and that's not a thing. No, there is no culture where people just meet and they might have sex. That's called a prostitute.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Soulja Boy, king of BS. Get the hell out of here, Soulja Boy. You lying. You don't, like, there's no world where Soulja Boy subscribes to this ideology here. But it's smooth criminal, this Soulja Boy, because this works. This is an ironclad discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, she can't fight this back.
Yes. He says that we need demarcation. We need to like put a wall of pillow. Like he will not even just get in a bed with her.
No cuddles.
There needs to be a wall of pillows. Saying like, I do not even want you touching me in any way.
Mm-hmm. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the woman in the video with him have a wall of demarcation?
Nope.
No. So we also found out about there will be no yammy yammy.
That's right. No yammy yammy tonight, Rob. Mm-hmm. So again, they 90 Day this season really loves peeling back the curtain and letting us hear their bedroom talk.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Kim, queen of unsubtlety, talks about, well, let me inspect the yam. Maybe I can figure out what it is. Like I can learn about that potential. Like,
yes. I think that he relates a body part to it's like a yam, which this is new for me. I've never heard any potato talk.
Spuds typically not Spuds, part of the bedroom.
Yam, sweet potatoes. Wow. Never once.
And, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. I've heard about yams.
You knew about the yammy yam?
But they're not the penis. It's the opposite.
So if
what I knew.
Yeah. So yeah. If I, is there a emoji for a sweet potato?
I hope not.
Let me text Nicole a yam.
Oh, please tell us what she thinks.
And I don't know if that would go over well because she really hates Thanksgiving.
Oh, true. Mm-hmm. True. We know this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Search emoji yam.
So there is a sweet potato. Oh, there is a
yam.
Emoji.
Yeah, there is a yam. But the yam emoji is kind of half of a yam. It's like cut in half.
It's like sliced.
It's not super sexy.
No, I think that's why no one uses it.
Here, let me see. Okay, let me what is this? Half a yam?
What is it?
Normal.
Oh, okay.
No, it's normal. All right. While you're doing this, then let me send Liana the sweet potato as well and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm actually not going to do it right now. Right now. I don't wait. I got to pick my spot. I'm going to pick my spot.
Oh, because, you're going to be selective with it.
Yeah, gotcha. I pick my spot. I don't want to have the wall of demarcation up over here. All right. For Usman and Kimberly, seems like that things are spiraling.
Define spiraling.
Going in a bad direction.
Yeah, it's not. It's only going to get worse from here. Like he, because now there's no excuse for the whole video production and the business part. It's, you know, he has this rest of the week to be with her only. And we see on the next time on that he doesn't want to have sex with her. So that's going to be an issue that's going to come up. More discussion there. I think it's the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I think this is going in a negative trajectory. I'm not feeling great about our couples, to be honest, this season.
They're looking a little bleak,
we could
Rob.
Do our power rankings at the end of the podcast of to see like which couple do we think has the best chance of surviving? We could go 0-7.
We really could, and I'm very down to do that power ranking for sure. Okay.
All right. We will do that. Mm-hmm. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Memphis and Hamza are getting closer to potentially being married, but there's going to be some complications along the way. We'll talk Memphis and Hamza right after this. All right, Puya, it is a 2-hour trip to the embassy for Memphis and Hamza. And they are going to go there because they need to go get their paperwork done so that they can get married on this trip.
That's right. If you watched these 6 episodes and you thought, hey, maybe they have a little trouble in paradise, not to Memphis, they don't. Let's get married. That's the solution to this. However, you know, this is Hamza we're talking about, Rob. Hamza has not planned the trip over properly. They don't even know how they're getting there. It's a mess.
Yeah. I am very confused about Memphis here because I kind of feel like that Memphis should cut bait here. I kind of feel like that Memphis to me is like seeing like, wow, all of these red flags. We need to get married sooner. It's weird that she is the one having all of the red flags, but also the person who's really forcing the issue on the wedding. And I kind of feel like that typically, like, you wouldn't have one person be the red flag person and also the hurry up, let's get married person.
Yeah, somehow she's both. And it's interesting because she will point out his flaws and then say, therefore, we should get married now. Sooner. Otherwise, I want out of this relationship.
Yeah, because if we're not going to get married, if I'm not going to get the commitment to you, then that's it. I can't deal with this.
And like, we've learned that the physical interaction, physical chemistry has not been great. So then that's like, well, you know, it's usually, you'll be like, oh, I wonder what's going on in the bedroom. It doesn't seem to be great there. So it really does confuse me. Memphis confuses me a lot. And this episode, especially, Rob, we got to learn about more of the things that she's frustrated about with Hamza, things that really bother her about Hamza. I don't get it.
Yeah. And look, the things that bother her are fair things to bother her. That being said, I don't understand why she's forcing the issue here on. And now we need to get married or it's over.
Exactly. I don't listen. It's an interesting card to play. It's a very interesting card to play. I don't think it's going to garner the results she wants, but also don't know what she really wants. Okay. So I'm confused.
All right. The embassy is 2 hours away. They're going to go spend the night in the hotel. They just need to get transportation there. Hamza tells her, well, if we can't find a car, we'll just go on the bus. Memphis is like, no, we are not doing that. We're not getting on the bus. No bus.
Yeah, she doesn't want to get on a bus with all this documentation, all the stuff they have.
Mm-hmm.
Valid. If I don't know a place, I would be a little bit worried
also
about
taking COVID, public transportation. I think she's also concerned that they have a lot of bags, seemingly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's just going to be a big hassle to take a bus.
It's like, okay. Hamza is like, all right, well, let me see if I have one of my friends will drive us 2 hours. I mean, that's a big ask.
That is... 2 hours, Rob, is not small because you got to remember that's 2 hours back too. That's 4 hours total. Now, would you rather get, actually, you know what? Let's ask you this. What's the likelihood of you doing this for somebody if they asked?
So this would be in a universe where I have like a good friend.
Rob, come on.
Yeah.
You have friends.
Look, for me personally, I might relish the 2 hours in the car by myself listening to podcasts. Would be a good person to do this. So
you'll deal with the 2 hours there with the people so that you can have the 2 hours back to yourself, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like I think that it wouldn't necessarily be people I probably would dislike. Like a 2 hour road trip is not bad.
Yeah, I think if someone in my close circle asked me, I'm down. But then I feel like 3 hours past, that's the bigger ask. Okay. 2 hours is that?
2 hours is okay. Yeah. All right. Here comes Youssef. Youssef is here to save the day. Just one Legend. Thing. One thing. I don't have the car insurance papers. My brother is going to go get it. It's 15 minutes. Let me 15 minutes. My brother's just going to go get the insurance papers.
No big deal. Just a little wait. Mm-hmm. We'll be fine.
No big deal.
Tell Memphis that Memphis is upset about this.
Well, this was, I thought, a great, example of Hamza just generally that he says to Memphis in the translation, he says to her, my friend, that he's going to go get the papers. We have to wait here 10 minutes. It was definitely 15 and you are managing the expectations and lying, that in a classic Hamza way.
And it's one of those things that, you know, you can say 10, you can say 5, but you know you're going to weigh 15. So that's worse. Mm-hmm. That is worse. Just say 15.
Say 20. Deal with it. Say 20.
Ooh, that's the better move. Mm-hmm. That is the better move, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So he's telling her, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, baby.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And you know, Memphis gets really mad here. He's immature.
Not okay. He hasn't been
prepared. Rob, this is a little boy. His little boy is planning this whole thing, and he's not taking it seriously, and she is very upset about this.
Yeah. We see Hamza in confessional that he doesn't like her attitude either.
Yeah, Hamza's not okay with this. Like, she's, taking everything too seriously. Mm-hmm. Hamza wants things to be a little bit more chill, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 1 hour later.
Yeah.
Memphis is mad, is angry. She's getting, that's it. I'm getting out of the car. That's it.
It's done.
Mm-hmm. Why did you plan this better, Hamza? Do you even want to get married?
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, she's really feeling like that she is the adult. He is the child. And he's saying like, oh, you're sad. It's like, no, I'm not sad. I'm pissed.
There's a difference between being pissed and being, it was a frustrated. She said, yeah, some of the story. She wasn't sad basically in the story.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Finally, they get on the road and they get to the hotel and it seems like all is forgiven.
I mean, did you see that hotel room, Rob?
Yeah. Where did this hotel room come from? This was Hamza put this all together.
Yeah, I mean, looked like it. It was very nice. Two-floor suite.
Two floors, the stairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. And it, Memphis promptly forgot about everything else that happened on the lead up because she told us she felt like he redeemed himself with the hotel. I think that Memphis's judgment of someone's maturity levels the scale is interesting. He didn't plan the transportation. He's not mature. Yes. But then he booked a nice hotel. So he's mature.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Like that. You just picked a good hotel. Like anyone can do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it was a really good hotel. Very good. Hamza is getting ready. He's talking a big game to us. He says that the sex could go all night.
Hey, there's no interruption.
Because it could also go 30 seconds again.
Yeah. He's saying it could. He didn't say it will, Rob. The fine print is there. It could.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, we don't know. We don't see the ultimate sexy time between Hamza and Memphis in the episode. They're going to end up getting into a fight before then. So we don't know exactly. We don't have to stopwatch out.
We do not. So yeah. We'll not know if it was good or bad or long or short. Mm-hmm. We do find out they're about to go get drinks.
Yeah, drinks.
And they ask him, Hamza, do you drink? The producers do.
Yeah.
He says, not often, only on special occasions. So,
with a special person.
It's a better answer.
Which was even, she's like, oh,
special.
Yeah. Okay. Now, for somebody who does not drink a lot, we're going straight to the hard stuff. Grey Goose, more vodka.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice. Grey Goose. I believe they went vodka OJ, right?
Yeah, which I was surprised because on the last episode, we had the whole thing where that Hamza gets Memphis a big orange juice. And it's like, hey, how's the orange juice? She's like, it's fine.
Fine.
Did not seem like she loved orange juice.
Yeah, and like combined with her, the orange juice and that giving her stomach problems and... Yeah. Alcohol potentially giving Memphis Hamza problems. Mm-hmm. It's a bad drink to order for both parties here.
Yeah. Now, are you a screwdriver drinker?
I like it. I wouldn't order it.
I don't think I've ever really had it. It's unappealing to me.
It's fine. Like it's one of those. I think the appeal of it for me is that it just tastes like orange juice. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's great for, you know, breakfast. Could go well mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I'm not, you know, I never whipped out a container of orange juice at a party to be like, yep, this is my chaser of choice tonight. No, mm-hmm. that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've definitely done a lot more like vodka cranberry, vodka tonic, but I feel like I've almost never had a vodka OJ.
Yeah, I had a bad experience.
Yeah.
With a mixed vodka and like diet soda.
Oh,
one time. Yeah. So now, well, not now, like today, but like ever
a diet
since.
Coke?
Yeah. So now it's like if I'm vodka-ing, it's going to get shotted and then I'll chase something after.
Okay.
I can't have the mixture anymore.
Okay. All right. So Memphis, again, she's rehashing the old stuff. Last time it was 30 seconds and done. Not good enough, Hamza.
What is he going to do with alcohol in the system?
Yes. Well, it might help, but don't drink too much because the yammy yam could be an issue. And he said, no.
Yeah. So you're drinking vodka, but it could turn out like whiskey. You don't want that.
Okay. All right. So, but serious talk now. All right. Enough of the sexy time. Memphis is scared she can't trust Hamza.
I mean, he lied about his age, Rob.
He lied about his age, and she doesn't want to go back to the United States, be in a relationship if she's not married. If we don't get married on this trip, this relationship is over.
That's an interesting sentence. You're immature, so if we don't get married, I don't want to keep dating you long distance moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I don't get it. And here's the thing. Hamza doesn't take this sitting down. No. Hamza gets upset about this.
He gets annoyed. He's like, do you care more about the papers or do you care about me? I think that Memphis is like, if I had to guess, like what is at the core of this? I think this is the same sort of thing that we're talking about with the Kim and Usman of the, and again, Hamza way more interested in Memphis than Usman, who has zero interest in Kimberly. But I think that the concern here is like, are you just making a fool out of me? Are you just stringing me along? Is this just all like a, like, are we never getting married? Because if we're not getting married on this trip, I'm not doing this again.
Right, which I think is fair. I think she's, you know, she's like, I don't want to waste time in this relationship. I think that's the sentiment, is that if you are not willing to commit long-term, I don't want to go long-term mm-hmm. without knowing what the relationship is. Right. It's kind of like defining the relationship, but in this case, legally defining it.
But you lied about your age. You're misrepresenting a bunch of things. Are you lying about that you want to get married to me? Because you're not acting like it.
I don't. Yeah. And listen, I don't think Hamza understood most of a lot of it.
Yeah. I think a lot was getting lost in the translation. We'll see next time with Memphis and Hamza. Do we get a sense of what's going on with them next time?
Let's see. Next time on Memphis and Hamza, yes, Memphis would like Hamza to sign a prenuptial agreement.
Oh, prenup. Yeah, where did this come from?
I don't know where, seemingly, but I'll tell you this. Hamza more and more feels like he's not valued or trusted in this relationship.
So. Yeah, where did the prenup come from?
It was interesting. It was definitely threw me for a loop. I did not see that being a thing that they were going to be discussing. Yet here we are. Rob, let's answer this question right now. I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Are they going to get married before the season ends?
I think they do.
Ooh, okay. You think it works out? You think they at least put pen to paper?
Yeah, I think that I would probably have them certainly higher up in the rankings of who is most likely to be a couple at the end of this.
Okay. Well, we'll not spoil the end of the pod here then.
Okay. All right. So, all right. How about we do a check-in with Johnny and Ella?
Let's. Okay. We have not talked about them in a minute.
Okay. All right. They got the week off last week. Ella found out the news that Johnny, he was going to go into Singapore, that I think his visa got declined. They have another option. Where was he? He was going to go into Dubai. This was the new plan?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Ella's going to meet up with Corby. I think we've met Corby before, and her husband, Pow.
Yes. Well, this is the first time we're meeting Pow.
Okay. All right. So we go and we have a conversation with Corby and Pow. Johnny wants to delay the trip. Allegedly, he's worried about the Delta virus.
That is a couple letters ago for us now, but yep.
Delta's so cute. That is adorable.
Yeah, he's worried about the Delta variant, apparently, and that's why he doesn't want to travel. And Ella thinks that this is a stupid excuse.
Yeah, everybody's already traveling. Come on, Johnny, let's go. He is hesitating, and Johnny thinks it's not a good time. Now, Pow comes in with a little bit of a theory. Pow thinks that perhaps that Johnny's parents are saying, we don't want you to go.
Yeah. So Pow starts, he's trying to be a friend here, trying to give her some insight and maybe some help, and says, maybe they don't want him to be with an American. Like, could that be the reason that he's pushing back and he's like delaying the trip and stuff. And honestly, this just feeds into Ella's insecurity about this whole thing and her worry about this trip.
Now, we saw Johnny talk to his parents a couple of weeks ago. And while his parents did have concerns, like, I didn't get the sense that Johnny was like, well, my parents said I can't go, so I can't go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll get to when they get on the phone call, because I defo have thoughts on this whole ordeal.
Okay. All right. So we then see Ella. She needs to talk to Johnny. All right. Johnny and Ella, they get on Skype and they talk. And so Johnny says that he is concerned with the coronavirus. That seems to be his number one concern.
Yeah. So he tells us that, and he gives us an example of, I've checked the curve. The America's going, like, the uptick is there. What if I come there and I get infected, I get sick, and then I have to be treated there? The hospital bill is going to be very expensive. I could go bankrupt, which I feel like is relatable. He's traveling. He's going to be in a tough spot there potentially. So I understood that.
Yeah.
And then Ella gives him the same old spiel of, listen, everyone's traveling. Come on. Like, this is over. We're just traveling now.
So the thing about Johnny that I said, well, I mean, this does seem like a valid concern. You know, 100. Johnny seems like that he is like very concerned about COVID, that we saw like his whole like COVID outfit that looked like when in Willy Wonka, when they go into the room that has like all of the TV equipment to beam Mike TV across the room, that's the getup that he's wearing. And, if you are a person traveling to a foreign country and you get sick, and it's like you come from a country that has, you know, socialized medicine, that I don't think it's like, well, could you just build China for my medical expenses?
Yeah. And he makes it clear that, you know, they will cover his expenses in China. So it would make zero sense for him to do so. And again, I think 115% I'm Team Johnny here. Mm-hmm. I understand everything he's saying, and it makes complete sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ella doesn't look good here. Ella, again, she talks about how, you know, it's not a big deal. I think you should, I'm telling you what I want. I should come here. Johnny claps back, Rob, and says, yeah, well, that's what we call American thinking.
Oh,
everything's going to be okay. Yeah. And like, it's fine, but I'm not feeling okay about it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So Ella says, oh, are you sure it's not because your parents are saying you can't come? It's like, no, not really. I mean, that's that, you know, they're
fine.
They're fine. It's not that. Yeah.
Yeah. He does tell us that, you know, his parents might have some, he says us privately that they might have some hesitation, but after his last marriage, he knows that the most important thing is that his parents do not interfere with his relationship. He just doesn't want to get sick on this trip.
Do you think Johnny had one hell of a divorce party?
I feel like no one can hold a candle to Jasmine's divorce party. He might have hung out with his friends from the last episode were a-holes.
Yeah, those guys weren't great. So Ella is like, all right, well, I guess I'll have to take matters into my own hands. She has a plan. What's going on? Is Ella going to go to China?
Dude, it's possible. Or she's going to be like, meet me in Dubai. I'll go here. I don't know. I don't know what her plan is, but she tried everything in that phone call to tell him, emotionally blackmail him to go. She told him that his hesitation is giving her emotional trauma. None of that worked.
Yeah.
Now, the only solution to this that I see that will work out is her going to China. Mm-hmm. Now, is that what she's going to suggest? I haven't a clue.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So we'll see where that goes. Did they show up on the next time on?
That's it. That was the part. The one other option, she said.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. We'll see what happens with Johnny and Ella. All right. Let's check back in with one of our newcomers to 90 Day Fiance. It is the saga of Ben and Mahogany, because Ben, he is finally going to head out to Peru because he is going to meet up with the love of his life, Mahogany, the strongest romantic connection he's ever had.
It's been a very good 3 months of conversation for him. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is feeling it. He's going to Peru. He's booked two rooms in Lima because, again, they have agreed. Yeah, they don't want to have sex before the marriage. Mm-hmm. And also, he says the best sex is worth waiting for.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I guess Ben could have just gotten one hotel room for him and Mahogany and then put up the wall of demarcation up in between. Mm-hmm. And then that would have prevented it. But they're going to do it that way. Okay, it's going to be very, very respectful, you know. Ben, you know, that the thought has crossed his mind. Maybe this is a mistake.
Like, it can go really, really badly. And I can see that. But then I look through all the texts and I'm like, no. No, it's real.
It's real. Okay.
That's all they needed.
Yeah.
The text.
Go back to the texts. The texts will tell you that it's real. Because that he asked Mahogany, is this real? And Mahogany said, yes, I'm real. Okay. All right. We meet the first of two Elijahs we'll talk about in this episode.
Yes, this Elijah.
Son Elijah
is going to drive him to the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the Elijahs in 90 Day Fiance, pretty helpful in a traveling. You know, some of them might be, you know, maybe taking a little bit more of a evil heel turn. But for the most part, if you have to get somewhere, they will help you get where you're going.
Yeah, the Elijahs would help you, definitely.
Elijah would.
It's different franchise, yep. Rob, different franchise.
Okay, all right. So the trip to the airport, Elijah is trying to talk to his dad. Of course, Dad wants his kids to be happy, but, you know, they don't understand how amazing Mahogany is.
They've never met her. They've never been in the presence of her greatness, Rob. So,
I mean, neither has
they will see the light.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Elijah is just like, Dad, I'm happy for you, but I just think there's some red flags.
As long as you even make it back from Peru with all your kidneys.
Yeah, in Elijah's world, the red flags are kidneys that were yanked out of your body.
Do we think that this is all an elaborate ruse to harvest Ben's organs?
I will say he is in peak condition.
Peak condition. Clean living.
Yes.
I feel like if you were going to harvest anybody's organs, I mean, I think that, like, you want to do a quick organ draft? I mean, who would you go with? I mean, I guess it's probably between Ben or maybe Caleb, but he's got some mileage, Caleb.
Allegedly.
I mean, Usman maybe,
Hamza.
Yeah, I mean, but Ben's a big guy, healthy organs, a little long in the tooth.
Little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Elijah says this, and I initially thought, classic nonsense on 90 Day. Then we discussed it. Don't get on that plane, Ben.
What are you doing? Ben, turn around. Turn around. although the fact that they are trying to get him to not come makes me feel like that Ben's organs getting harvested is not a likely outcome.
Yeah, Ben is a lot more likely to have his dignity stolen before his organs get stolen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. So Ben just got a text. Not very encouraging. Mahogany says, my dad doesn't trust your intentions and doesn't want you to come.
That's it. We find out this isn't the first time this has happened, though.
Yeah.
So a month ago was her birthday. He was going to go there and she said, don't come because her parents weren't there and she wanted him to meet the parents. And Ben was like, okay, that sounds like a good thing. You make a lot of sense, Mahogany.
Yeah.
Stupid idiot.
Yeah. I mean, so stupid.
Yeah.
You would think the guy would say, all right, you know what? That's it. This is okay. All right. Look, joke's on me. You got me. All right, that's it. I'm going to go home. Okay, thank you. No, he is going to try to debate Mahogany.
I mean, when the texts come out so nice, Rob, when you get such nice texts, you don't want to let that go easy, you know?
Yeah. He says, this isn't fair to our love.
He just wants to be loved, and he has found the person to do that with, Rob.
So there's only one course of action, Puya.
Get on the plane.
Get on that plane, and I'm coming to Peru, baby.
You will be good with me when I meet you. I can fix
all the problems. I'm going to win over Mom and Dad.
Easily.
Mahogany.
In the bag.
Mahogany, yes. Yes. You'll see. You'll see. Once they meet Ben, it'll be all smooth over.
And we are about to get one of my favorite tropes of 90 Day, which is now the man who's potentially being catfished showing up to the country with no one to greet him there because this isn't real.
Right. Well, I mean, what do we think is going to happen? Is he just going to get to Peru? And then, is Mahogany just going to ghost him the whole time?
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get to Peru. No one's at the airport. He's going to be upset about that. Then he's going to go to the hotel. He's going to message her. We're going to see a couple of scenes of him just, you know, enjoying the hotel facilities and stuff, waiting for a text. Maybe he gets some text back potentially with some more excuses. I think that's where we're headed with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And, this is moving too fast. I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
And he's going to be begging for her. I just hope that when we will follow Ben all the way back to where then he will meet back up with his kids and his ex-wife. And then when he tells his ex-wife what happens. That I would love to see that.
You're ready for his ex-wife to put him in a poster, is what you're telling me, to dunk on him
you
so hard.
Idiot. You stupid moron. He's like, no. Her parents wouldn't, they didn't approve. Like, you idiot.
They just hadn't met me, them from another country. It makes total sense that they weren't ready to meet, mm-hmm. to like have us be together. And Elijah's going to be like, well, at least you have both your kidneys.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's always a plus.
Yeah. Yeah. That, if anything, he should hold his head up high if he's able to maintain both. You know, that's a win in of his own.
That's a win in itself. Okay. All right. We're going to take another break. When we come back, let's talk about the other Elijah.
Please.
Because we have another Elijah to talk about who's come in and chose violence. He's going to upset the whole thing when we come back talking about Caleb and Alina. Puya, it's Elijah's final night with Caleb and Alina. He's leaving.
Last night in Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elijah, he makes an entrance. He comes to the restaurant where Caleb and Alina is, and he comes in, I guess, with his signature catchphrase. He walks in and says, so yeah, bitches, what's up?
So casual, mm-hmm. this Elijah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's an awkward conversation because, Puya, the night before, Caleb and Alina were spending some intimate time together, and Elijah walked into the room.
Yes. And I don't think it was just like a walk-in. I think it was more of a Kool-Aid man type walk-in where he walks in and goes, oh yeah, because he seemed to be very okay with doing so.
Yeah. He came in and then they asked him, like, is everything okay?
And then he said, why are you staring? And I just said to him, no, I'm just checking your body.
Elijah, cool down. Calm down, bro. What are you doing?
That's not okay, right?
This is massively not okay. You know, you walk in on two people doing stuff. The immediate response should be, oh, sorry. And then you run out. Immediately.
What is it? Normal.
It's normal. Come on, Rob. Everyone does this. No, Elijah.
And so Caleb was not happy.
No.
He was, you know, not thrilled about the whole situation. So they asked Elijah, what did you need? What was in here that you needed to come in here for? And he had said that he was looking for his comb. He needed to comb his hair before he comes out. This couldn't have waited.
Just wanted to go out. Is it important?
At least you looked good for it, I guess.
Yes. And you also look good.
Listen, Elijah has so much audacity. How bold this man is to look Caleb in the eye and be like, yeah, you look good too.
You also look good.
Yeah. Like what you were putting down. And like, what's Caleb going to respond to this? You know, he's getting complimented, but I also know that he knows exactly what Elijah's doing to him. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing he can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Elijah then says, hey, let's play a game. Time to play Never Have I Ever.
He is sinister. He is evil. He is calculated. He is Elijah.
We, a couple of weeks ago, Puya said, Elijah, find yourself a friend like Elijah, the greatest guy ever.
Taking that one back. I held on to the receipt, thankfully. Take it back. The worst friend you could ask for here. Oh, my God. Airing all the dirty laundry tonight at this cafe in Turkey.
He opens with never have I ever had sex with more than 100 women. To refresh the audience's memory. So if you have done the thing, in Never Have I Ever. Then you take a drink.
Yes.
Go to your vodka orange juice.
Yeah.
Take a sip of the vodka Diet Coke.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you can stomach it.
I mean, that's a bad drink.
It wasn't good.
The vacuum.
It was awful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Never have I ever had sex with more than 100 women. Caleb takes a drink.
No one at that table should have drank, Caleb. You are lying to me right now. Stop it.
100 women is a lot of women.
That's your 10 fingers 10 times. That's too many.
Whoa. So how old is Caleb?
25. Yeah, somewhere in that range, right?
Okay. I mean, trying to do the math here. Okay. 100 women. 100 women surveyed.
Survey says?
100. What a flex by Caleb here. So
he's 28.
Okay.
That doesn't change anything for me. I mean,
let's say if he has been sexually active, let's say for 10 years, that's, 10 different women a year for 10 years. I mean, you could get there.
One
could get there. Yeah.
But should it?
Yeah. 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 Okay. So, all right. Alina's a little taken aback. Alina basically says,
"What is it? Normal."
It's like, I didn't think it was going to be 100.
Which, fair, that's triple digits. Mm-hmm. So you might not have expected that.
Yeah, a little surprised. Okay.
Because, also, if you think about it, Rob, they've known each other for 13 years. She's doing the math. During that time, there's been 100 different women. During that 13 years is a lot of time. That's a lot of people.
Okay. At least 100.
Yes. They didn't say the exact number.
Yeah. Okay. Never have I ever had a threesome. Very surprised Caleb didn't acknowledge this one.
I mean, he didn't, he's safe. He didn't have a threesome.
Okay.
But then have you, Rob, I need to ask you this.
Talking about this on a podcast.
No, I'm not making you play the game.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm asking you a technical question about the rules of the game. I will get your answer off the air though. Okay. Caleb points out that if they don't drink, if the participants, no one drinks, then the question asker has to drink.
I don't think I've ever even played this game.
I've played a couple times.
Never have I ever played this game.
Yeah. We'd have to take a swig right now. All right. Rob took a swig. I'm taking a swig. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I didn't know about that rule, but apparently in Caleb's world, if the participants don't drink, then the question asker has to. So,
yeah. Caleb kind of punts here. Never have I ever lived in Russia. I don't know what he's going
for. The worst kind of never have I ever player. The person that does that.
Yeah. Maybe he just wants to drink. So Elijah says, never have I ever kept a secret from my partner that I've known for 13 years.
Whose name is Caleb and hails from Arizona. Like, couldn't have made it shady.
Yeah. And then he's really like self-congratulatory of like, here I am for you, the brave bitch. Spill it out, bitch, already. Elijah, what's got into you?
Yeah, he is really the De Niro of saying bitch in this season. Killing it. Killing it with it.
Yeah. Okay. So Elijah is there to push her. And Caleb's like, what is this? There is something you're keeping from me.
Yeah. And she tells him, listen, we'll talk about it when we get back to the hotel room. I'll tell you about it tonight. I promise.
Yeah. So Alina is angry at Elijah for bringing this up. Then Elijah is kind of pushing to get into, what stage of the relationship are you at now? And Caleb does his, you know, we don't want to determine where we're at right now. It's really, but Alina's like, but actually, no, where are we right now?
Yeah, this is an indicator that Elijah is a friend that hasn't been told none of your business enough times. Mm-hmm. Everything is Elijah's business, pretty much. Yeah, and well, nothing is off ground.
Alina did tell him about the disco stick.
Yes, she didn't have to. I think she was ready.
He did say to spill the tea.
Yes, but the way she said it, Rob, I think she wanted to use that phrase. Like, she mm-hmm. wanted to bring that up, and it was the right time.
Yes, she piqued his interest enough.
And then he said, "Why are you staring?" And I just said to him, "No, I'm just checking your body."
Yeah, if you have a hidden disco stick and you would like to play it, now is the time to do so.
All right. Alina says, you know, Caleb is being very indecisive. And we called this last week. That goes, well, if sounds like you're keeping secrets from me. So how could I make a decision about what I'm going to do? She's like, you didn't even know I had a secret. He's like, yeah, but this is a great. Proves I was right. Proves I was right.
Even more proof.
Yeah. What other secrets do you have? You might have a lot of secrets.
I mean, this was one of those things, right, where we knew Caleb was going to say this regardless of how this went.
Yeah.
And regardless of her having secrets, now he can just use that as ammunition mm-hmm. to delay it. So mm-hmm. I think if I'm reading this the way I wanted to read it, even before this episode, I don't think Caleb has any interest in having him and Alina be official long term.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the you know, the evidence quote he needed to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get a scene where they're going to bed, and Alina seems like she's struggling to get into the bed. Caleb seems like he is not being helpful at all.
Yeah, this is an instance where Caleb's like, nope, you got this. I'm mad
mm-hmm.
at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Caleb wasn't. So what was that? What was the whole thing? What was the whole secret?
Well, she spills the tea, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, she was living with her ex. I don't know. She was still dating the guy when she was talking to Caleb.
Yeah, she was living when she was this was a more serious relationship than she had told Caleb. She was living with her ex and they were still good at the time, but she didn't want to tell Caleb because then she didn't want Caleb to be like, well, I don't want any part of this at all.
Yeah.
Because she didn't think it was that big of a deal and she wanted to talk to him about it in person and not, you know, via the internet.
Yeah. Also, like, who cares? I mean, this is sounds like it's ancient history. I mean, they've been talking for 13 years. Like, at what point did she have lived with her ex?
Yeah, it's like if you lived with your ex, were with your ex, mm-hmm. and there's your ex, and that wasn't when we were like overlapped, then I don't care. Like, it does not matter to me. Mm-hmm. It does not concern me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for Caleb, he hears the story and, you know, it's something. Is it the end of the world? I don't really think so. But Caleb says, see, this just reinforces why we need to spend more time together to get to know each other, because I don't know what else he could be hiding. I don't want to make a commitment. You're keeping secrets from me. And see, it's just goes to show, you know, maybe we just need more time. Got to slow it down.
Caleb
says, said the man who has a body count of over 100. No, we got to slow it down. It's just going too fast.
Yeah. Brewing a big batch of BS mm-hmm. and it's about ready. It's about ready for harvest, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is going nowhere.
No. It's this is doomed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah leaving, I think, is only going to make things harder because right at the beginning of that last dinner with Elijah, Caleb does give us a confessional where he says that he has mixed feelings about Elijah and Elijah leaving because he feels like Elijah keeps stepping on his toes and it's causing him problems. But then also he's been helping a lot with helping with Alina mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. wheelchair and stuff like that. So he says that he knows that he's appreciative of that and he knows that he doesn't want to take that for granted. I think that especially if they're going to have friction like this and Caleb's going to be like negligent to Alina. If he's upset with her, this is going to cause even more problems. I think Elijah leaving is just going to make it worse for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason they break up, though, officially will go down as she lied to me. She lied. Wasn't being honest. Wasn't telling me the truth. You know, she's keeping secrets from me. Can't do that. Got to be with somebody who's open and honest.
Caleb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We've got one other story to talk about, and that is the saga of Mike and Ximena. And last week, a heavy episode for Mike and Ximena. We talked about how Ximena did not disclose to Mike about how she could no longer conceive a child with Mike, which she may have misrepresented in her talking with Mike about the family that they were going to be starting together. She also may have left out a few things about the fathers of her children and also the hitman who may have as recently as 2 years ago or even more recent have said that he was going to kill Ximena and, you know, may or may not show back up at any minute. Potentially, it's all water under the bridge because we have serious issues to discuss for Mike and Ximena this week.
Yeah, you did a good recap of everything that came up, Rob, and now we can throw it out because we're talking about all the issues Mike is bringing to the table. And let me tell you, they're big.
Big. Enough about my baggage. Time to talk about your baggage, Mike. Big, your big baggage, small baggage, and medium baggage. We're getting into it all here today, Michael.
All of them.
All right.
One by one.
Mike tells us about how that they're spending time together. Also, Mike learned she dated a very dangerous person in the not so distant past.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So Ximena, she's going to go get some coffee. Mike's going to meet up with her. God knows what Mike had to go and take care of, what bodily function he was busy with. But it gives Ximena some time to call her sister, Wendy. And Ximena tells us, you know, Mike, he has bad things about him, too. He's not a perfect treasure, Mike.
No, most definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she gets on FaceTime with Wendy and she says, you know, with Mike, there are some sweet moments and some moments that aren't.
Some sour moments.
Sour moments. She describes Mike. He is super gross.
Yeah, that's like gross square. That's too gross, too furious.
She said, Rob. Super gross. Gross, the translation said. He does things like leaves his clothes everywhere.
So that's just messy. It's not gross unless the clothes are very dirty, then it's gross.
Okay. Now, we flagged this a couple of weeks ago that there was a scene where Ximena picked up Mike's underwear off the floor.
Yes.
And she basically held up his underwear and said, her kids were there, and she's like, oh, gross, ah. And we gave like kind of like a rose-colored glasses view of like, oh, maybe it's like with the kids, she was like being silly. She referred to Mike later as she wants a guy who's responsible, not a guy who can't wipe his own butt, was how she referred to Mike.
Yeah, I think in the mystery of why that was so gross, the answer becomes skid marks. So, safe bet there.
What is it? Normal.
No, it's literal beep. It's literal what the beep is.
It's not normal. It's not normal. Okay. So, and not only that, Mike also let out a fart in front of Ximena. I do believe we got a clip. Puya, tell me, sound effect or did this really happen?
Ay, Dios mío, qué cosas asquerosas, vean esto.
That sounded authentic to me, Rob. It did not sound like the standard.
I don't know. Fart sound to me, board. This sounded like it was how was Mike mic'd up here? This sounded to me like the fakiest of all time, fake flatulence.
Well, if you're in a quiet room, right, and y'all are like macking, I feel like that's the loudest noise in the room, so the mic would pick it up. And like they've got like if they've got like 2-3 cameramen in there all with different booms, like that's gonna happen. I'll pick it up. I think
this is a different boom.
Boom, yeah. Boom.
Wait, oh, he burped at the table. Also disgusting.
I thought she said that he burped on top of her.
Yeah. The scene we saw of the burp was not on top of her, but maybe also perhaps the Colombian cuisine is not. I mean, we've seen Memphis have issues. Yes. You go to a different country, the food is different. All of the peasant cheese.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, as long as. Because like I think this is normal, right? Eating new cuisine sometimes it might take some adjustment period. So everything he's doing is normal. But for someone that's been so someone who's been so insecure and worried as Mike, I'm astounded that he's letting this slip in front of her. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, we didn't really get so much of Mike's side of the story here. Okay. Jimena is saying to Wendy, can you imagine what it's going to be like 3 or 4 years from now? Hold on a second. Jimena, who seems to, in some cases, demonstrate no ability to sort of have long-term thinking based on other choices she's made in the past. Where was this? Oh my God, what will this be like in 3 or 4 years? Never once before. She visited a man in jail that she just met to get impregnated.
So could this be perhaps a result of her having gone through those experiences perhaps, and now thinking I should perhaps think more long term?
Maybe she is now like okay, well now I've made poor choices in the past and I've seen now that and like things only get worse. Maybe,
yeah,
perhaps
benefit of the doubt season.
Yes, okay.
For Jimena,
she says, I don't know if I'm getting a husband or another kid.
Which I don't think she wants another kid. She got 2.
Yeah, sure. I mean, based on some of the choices she made, we have like demonstrable evidence that she does not want another child.
Exactly.
Yes.
She's made it abundantly clear. She's made it
like gone to great lengths. She does not want another child. Okay. All right. So Wendy says you got to talk to him. They need to talk to Mike. Okay. So they go, and Mike had a special day planned, but the weather was not cooperating. So they go sit by the fireplace.
I mean, stay in with fireplace, some drinks. That sounds like a good time to me.
Okay. And so Mike sits down with Jimena and he gets to hear from Jimena by way of the translator, the not ideal way to start any conversation.
I have things I want to talk to you about that I do not like about you.
I love that this is coming from the robot audio because it makes me feel like it's the start of a dubstep song. Like, and the beat drops right after that. I do not like about you. Boom, boom. Like, just get ready to party.
I have things I want to talk to you about that I do not like about you.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, what?
It feels like entrapment. you get here, you're having a nice sit down, then this comes up. You're like, all right, demeanor
switch. I have things I want to talk to you about that I do not like about you.
Okay.
What are those things?
Like what? Yeah. And man, this is your cleanliness. You leave clothes everywhere. Like, okay. I'll work on that. All right. I've only been here like 3 or 4 days, but yeah, I guess so. Like, I guess if I get like a dresser or like a drawer. I think I could work. Like, I don't really know where the laundry is or anything here. I will work. I can work on that. I can fix that.
Doable.
Amanda says, you don't have to burp in front of me.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
Yeah. And also, you don't have to fart in front of me.
Please.
Yeah.
If you may.
Mike tells her, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen.
Well, it takes us out of the mood there, Mike. So maybe you don't want to do that, please.
So again, some of these things, maybe the translation was off, but it sounds like that Mike was told then, the fact is you are already an old man.
Yeah. Yeah. Factually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not going to live like I'm your mother.
No. I mean, again, she doesn't want another child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mike says, I'd like to work on these things together with you. Like, I can get better. She says, you have to change a lot of things or I will not marry you. I, who has a lot of baggage, will not marry you.
Yeah. If you fart, we break apart. That's the thing. That's what I'm going with. That's my motto here, Mike.
Mike is about to get dumped by Jimena.
Yeah. If you burp, hit the curb. She's making it very clear, Rob. These are big red flags for her, and she's not okay with it. And my favorite part of this whole scene is the confessional. Do you have the sound for that?
I do not. I do not. Which one?
So in the confessional, he's talking about, you know, this, what she's pointing out. He's like, well, you know, I don't know. It's not as bad as going to jail or killing people for money. Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, points.
True. But Mike, just because you said you're cool with stuff doesn't mean she has to be cool with your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she will lose the schmo show. You will win the schmo show. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I definitely understand where Jimena is coming from on this stuff, but Jimena's ready to walk
on this. She's done. It's gross, Rob. It is gross. And here's the problem is that we've seen his house, so we know it's like proper gross, but she's seen the trip version and that's not good. So she is not going to be okay with their house, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mike's like, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's, I didn't think I was going to, after yesterday, I didn't think that you were going to break up with me.
Yeah.
But I was considering my options here. Yeah. I guess I'll get in line. Boy, I guess the hitman probably was, I mean, other than the killing people, is probably had like pretty good manners.
Yeah, I think the hitman made his bed, you know, did laundry.
Yeah.
The dishes.
The hitman would come home from the killing and then probably if there was like had the dirty clothes would put them into the proper place. And then, you know, if it was going to ever like would not ever like break, you'd break your neck, but it would not break wind.
Right. And in order, you know, to be in that line of profession, you got to do everything clean. Everything has to be like done smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
So it checks out.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, he's a killer. He's not a barbarian.
Exactly.
Yes.
What kind of man do you take him for?
All right, Puya. We said we're going to do power rankings here of the seven couples of most likely to be together at the end of this versus least likely to be together. How do you want to do this? You want to just go... Like, let me throw some names at you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Are we going to start with the most likely or least likely? Let's, I think.
You least likely will be easier.
Least likely. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So least likely, I think it's easy. Seven out of seven, Ben and Mahogany.
I mean, you can't be with someone if they don't exist.
They can't be with someone if they don't exist.
There you go. Ben and Mahogany.
Ben and Mahogany. Seven.
is number seven. I don't think so.
Like, it can go really, really badly, and I can see that. But then I look through all the text, and I'm like, no. No, it's real.
It's not. Okay. All right. Who's the next least likely to stay together?
Let's see. How about...
Okay, I think I got it.
Oh, you got it, huh? I think Ella and Johnny.
Okay. May I counter with Kim and Usman?
Oh, you may. I will say, though, they are a lot closer than Ella and Johnny are right now.
There is a physical distance between them, but they seem like they are willing and wanting to be together. Where the Kimberly is willing and wanting, Usman does not want anything to do with. Like, I don't know what his long game is other than being on television. There is no world where he is going to have a physical relationship with Kimberly that I am willing to, I think I would put a substantial wager up if Usman has a open mouth kiss with Kimberly in the season.
Ooh, what's the wager?
How many nuggets?
Nuggets? Please. No, don't do this
if to if Usman, but you think it's happening?
A kiss could happen.
Open mouth.
What? Open? Yeah. Like no tongue or tongue. No.
With I mean, I don't know how you do an open mouth kiss. And there's I think the tongue is going to like, what's the point of the open mouth?
Right. I hope we don't see it. I think it could happen, but I don't want to see that. I don't think it's happening.
It
could happen. It's one kiss.
It could happen, but I don't think it would.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay. All right.
I'll take that. I'll take Kim and Usman at six. That makes sense.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Then let's see. Who is next here? Honestly, do I think Ella and Johnny, or do I think...
How about this? If we get to Make Out City for Kim and Usman, nuggets on me, Puya. I'll send them your way.
Okay. I get a dinner. A nugget dinner. Okay. Deal.
For Liana too.
Oh, she's going to be so happy. Oh, mm-hmm. Rob, she did reply to my yam text.
Yeah. That's what
she
say.
I sent her the emoji. She replied yam ? I sent her the eyes emoji. She sent me two question marks.
Oh, so I got it here. Let's see if I do this. I'm going to send Nicole the yam.
Yes.
Okay. And then let's see what. So I sent it just with nothing. See what she says. But okay. I already got the reply. All right. Then okay. After Kim and Usman. So you think Johnny and Ella?
No, I think Caleb and Jasmine after that. Caleb and Alina.
Yeah. There's no way. Because Jasmine and Ella, like, again. That I think they want to be together.
They want to be together.
Both parties are interested.
Yeah. If anything, right now it's the pandemic and the travel. That's the thing in between them. Not anything to do with their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have Mike and Jimena. We have Johnny and Ella. We have Gino and Jasmine, and Memphis and Humza.
Ooh, I think throw in, Mike and Jimena were fine until this episode. I felt like mm-hmm. nothing was going to break them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rob, I think this is Memphis and Humza.
You think so? I see. I feel like that Memphis, I feel like is, will not be turned away here. Like, but she should.
Think,
she should. Right. That I think that she has she is driven.
But is Humza still in? Especially after this.
I don't know if he has a choice. I don't know if he has a choice.
You think he'll do it? What if his mom gets in the way and says no?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then who are you counter offering if it's not them?
Mm-hmm. Then I was going to say, I think Johnny and Ella might be four.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's put them there. Then are they bronze medal then? Mm-hmm. For you, Hamza and Memphis?
Let's see. Okay. So Johnny and Ella, I think, are four. I don't know. Could Jimena kick out Mike?
I mean, she didn't sound happy at all about the thing, but I think it's Mike, right? He's going to work on it. He's going to pick up his clothes and he wants to be with her.
I saw in this episode that Jimena, it could seem like, yeah, this guy, sure. He's like supporting us and completely changing my way of life, but I don't think I can stomach this guy.
Well, he
can't. I can put up with a lot of things, and this guy is too much.
How bad is the scent that like she's like out on this guy after that? It must be horrible.
I guess so.
Oh my God, not enough candles out there. So wait, now that okay, so we've pretty much filled up our bottom four. Can we now switch it and look at who's the most likely to be together?
Actually, I kind of feel like that. I'm starting to talk myself into Johnny and Ella above Mike and Jimena.
Okay. So then, that would put them what, the only behind Gino and Jasmine for you?
I just think that Jasmine, even if Gino wants to leave. Jasmine, I feel like, will not let him leave.
Right. Like, she will hold him there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then there you have it. That's our top seven.
Okay. So Gino and Jasmine, I think, most likely to still be together, only because that Jasmine, it will end when Jasmine says it ends and not before.
Yes. Okay. And so far, I think Jasmine knows what she has with him, which is whatever she wants.
Yeah. Memphis and Hamza, like, I think that they have had some issues, but I kind of feel like that Memphis so badly wants this to work that I think that just by sheer force of will, I think she is going to make this happen.
Well, and I think that the fact that Memphis and Hamza, like, she went there being like, I'm getting married. And even though there's been a lot of red flags, like, I'm still going to do it. That's got to happen. That's fair. I think she wants it. The only way they end up being in a bad spot and then they don't marry this season is if suddenly Hamza decides I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. But even if Hamza decides he's out, I think that Memphis, like, I think she's bringing some Jasmine energy to it.
Mm.
She's like, no. You're out when I say you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say when you're out. Okay.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Then Johnny and Ella, they want to be together. It's just the distance keeping them apart. Mike and Jimena, I think Mike, we talked about him. Mike will put up with anything. Jimena, I think we found where her breaking point is. And this is, please, this is on day three of knowing him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not been a long time. It's not been a long time.
She's in like year six of the relationship and it's been 3 days.
Yeah, I feel like you are absolutely right, though. These are not things that'll come up immediately this quickly. But listen, we know that she had said Mike was nothing that great. Mm-hmm. Like, she had felt like, he's all right. But like, he's, you know, he's putting all this stuff up. So those smaller things matter more.
Yeah. Caleb and Alina, what else we need to say? Kim and Usman, and then Ben and Mahogany. Now, if Mahogany was real, I think I would have them like number one.
Yes. If we end up meeting Mahogany and Mahogany's like, I'm liking Ben, done. Give him the first place.
Yeah. But
she needs to exist first.
Mm-hmm, she has to exist. Okay. And that's our top seven here. I guess we can adjust our power rankings next week. I'll take this page out of my notes and I'll put it someplace where I won't lose it. Okay.
Good, yeah, put it there. Then we can adjust anyone that needs to be adjusted on week to week.
Puya, you still got Single Life coming up, right?
I do. Oh my God. Jam-packed
90 Day Fiance podcast.
Oh, yeah, I told you. 90 Day is a 365 day sport, and we will be there for all of it. And I will be back to talk about the Single Life once again at the end of this episode because we did get an episode out. So that'll be fun to see.
Puya, what else do you have going on this week?
Actually, quite a bit, Rob. I organized a Fall Guys tournament, a video game tournament. That's happening on Tuesday. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's got 20 participants, 10 teams. It was a whole thing, but I'm very excited to see how it plays out. So that'll be happening. And then obviously I do stream other content as well. My Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya.
Yeah. Okay. Puya, I sent Nicole the sweet potato. She wrote back, "You want a sweet potato?"
Oh.
And I said, "You're sweet."
You said that.
I said that. And she said, "You specifically said that is not a word you would ever use to describe me." That, I mean, fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
She saw through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have some explaining to do on the 5 for 5
later.
Yeah,
I am. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I am. Okay.
Yes,
all right.
I am.
So much going on, Puya. Oh, we launched this weekend the weekly wrap up, the best of the week. Well, maybe something from this episode is going to make the cut. I mean, talk about seven couples.
Yeah, we put out a lot of nuggets on this podcast, so finding the right one could be a task. But you know, the weekly wrap up is great for that. And if someone misses something, they'll find some stuff there.
It's there. Yeah. Everything all in one place, plus the Amazing Race is back. We're still talking about Joe Millionaire, maybe some celebrity Big Brother news this week. If it happens, you know where to find it. Okay. And Puya's got more 90 Day The Single Life coverage coming up right after this. Take care for me. Bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Single Life coverage. Hope you enjoyed what me and Rob had to say about this past episode of Before the 90 Days earlier. So here's the situation. There's not a lot to give you this week because next week is the tell-all. That's right. They didn't tell me. I had no idea. I just found out. I watched the finale of 90 Day The Single Life, and I'm on here to talk to you about it. And then next week's the tell-all. That's it. Season's done. Okay. Now, when I explain what happened with these episodes, you'll understand why it made no sense that this was a finale. So let's start with Debbie, okay? So Debbie is now what? She went out to San Diego for a date. It's a blind date. She doesn't know who the date is. And we immediately meet Bill. Here comes Bill. He seems like a nice, you know, older guy, nice gentleman, whatever. And she says, oh my God, he looks so much better than his pictures. Bill, you know, talks about how he has some stuff in common with her. They both love cats. They're bonding very well. It ends up being a very sweet date to see. And that's it. Literally the date finishes. She drives him, he drops her to the car and like, that's it. It felt like the date was a blink and you'll miss it 2 minutes on the episode, but Debbie gets a happy ending ? I guess it counts. We'll count that. That's it. Debbie has her happy ending to the season. And then in the next time on, you know what? I don't want to tell you what's on the tell-all. No, I'll tell you what's on the tell-all because there's a lot of fun stuff on the tell-all, but I won't give you any details. So I'll say this. So Colt's going to be at the tell-all. Tanya's going to be at the tell-all. Mike's going to be at the tell-all. Tim's going to be at the tell-all. Literally everyone has someone from their past there pretty much, and then some. So there's going to be a lot going on at this tell-all. I will say Colt has a shouting match with Big Ed. It's going to get messy. Just trust me when I say next week's 90 Day Fiancé The Single Life is going to be the best coverage we've done for that season. And it's the last episode, right? So come through for that, okay? Okay. And then we had Natalie's story. It's been 2 weeks since that date with the Josh guy that has two kids, and Josh lives in LA. That's why they haven't been, you know, seeing each other the long distance at this point, but they've only gone on one date. But she tells her friend Yolanda that she feels something here. She feels like she likes him. It's been a month since she's liked someone, but she needs more attention. She needs more attentiveness from him, more messages from him, more calls from him. And mentions that because of the industry he works in, she feels insecure. And also she doesn't want to compete for his heart. She wants it to be known that, you know, I am yours. That's how she wants him to pursue her. Okay. So then they're in a video call later, her and Josh. And honestly, she makes all of this good. She says, listen, I'm Ukrainian women. Like I need you to tell me like you're for me. And like, it push for me more, message me more, ask me how I'm doing, ask me what I'm up to. And he says, listen, I like you a lot, but also my commitment, I have a commitment to my kids, I have a commitment to my businesses. That's why I might not be responding to you or messaging you a lot, but it's because I'm busy with this stuff, but I really like you and I would like for us to see each other. So let's figure out, like, maybe you come to LA and I'll show you around. She says, yes, sounds good. And then he says, all right, well, I'm about to leave. Can I get a kiss over the phone goodbye. And she says, how about I give you a kiss in person? So that's looking all good. Mike being there next week looks like it's going to make Natalie cry. So get ready for that. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a long one. And then we have two more people on this episode. So first of all, no Sinjin, no Stephanie. Again, Stephanie was the biggest waste of a person to be on this show this season. And Sinjin pretty much the same. He had that one date. It was awkward. The end. All right. So then we had Jennifer and Jesse. And they pretty much had two things happen here. One thing was they had their call with Kakua. And again, Jesse pissing me off by mispronouncing Kakua. And let me tell you, by the end of the call, he started pronouncing Kakua fine the rest of the episodes. I think he felt a little bit in his feelings, a little hurt after what happened. But Kakua is basically asked the questions of, have you had sex? And what do you feel about her still? And Kakua mentions, okay, so there was no penetration, but we did sleep next to each other. We did cuddle. We did kiss. All of that was there. And that he still does have feelings for her. And obviously Jesse still feels some type of way about this, but Jennifer assures him, like, you know, my future is with you. So even if that means some boundaries, you don't want me to see this guy, I can do that. Okay. So that happens. They're on their way back to the airport now. He's going to be leaving Colombia. He tells us that he loves her. He feels everything for her. Long distance isn't for him. They have a lot to figure out where their future lies, but they both agree their future's together. And then right, he gets out of the car as he's about to get into the airport. Right before he leaves, Jennifer says, hold on, I've got something for you. And proceeds to take off her panties, not from her bag, from her legs, like the one she's currently wearing. And she hands it off to him. And he enjoys it a little too much. Made me a little bit uncomfortable. But she gives him her panties. And then they say goodbye. They embrace, and that's it. Jesse and Jennifer leave the season. And then, like I said, Tim of the first season, Jennifer was on Tim. He's going to be in a video call for the tell-all. Jesse and Jennifer are going to be there in person. Mess, 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 mess. Speaking of mess, Big Ed. Big Ed is the last person we're going to talk about here because he got the last scene of the season, pretty much. So we find out it's been 2 weeks since Big Ed has gotten back from his trip, his pursuing of Coyote has come to an end. It's over. And so now he's back home. It's been 2 weeks. In these 2 weeks, unfortunately, Teddy, Big Ed's dog, has passed away. Okay. And they showed us a montage of all the moments of Teddy and Big Ed together on the show. And, you know, Big Ed said that this, you know, Teddy's always been there for me. But we find out that after Teddy passes away, he got a lot of flowers from people, a lot of messages from people. And then there was this one batch of flowers in particular that had like a really nice message to it. And he, wanted to know who it was, but there wasn't any name on it. Then he checked his like ring camera, like his door camera, and figured out who it was. And he started messaging that person back and forth. And now he's going to go see them because they are the one. They veiled this as if we're not going to know who, as if it's not going to be someone who he already knows. Okay. So spoiler alert, it's Liz. It's Liz from the last season that we talked about Big Ed. And apparently Liz messaged him that he was a great father to Teddy. And then they had dinner. They talked all night long. They fell asleep in the same bed. And then the next morning he tells her, like, are you going to be my forever? And she says, yes, I am. He proposes. They're engaged. Well, that's a great, you know, bit of a reveal. If they didn't flipping tell us this with the People magazine pictures that were exclusively released at the start of the season, they could have had something huge here. This is like a whimper. Cause like, come on, we knew what was happening. It sure is not Coyote. We knew this from episode 4. And we knew he was going to be with Liz for episode 1. Not that I care, because it's Big Ed, so I don't like him anyway. However, Big Ed's going to be there at the reunion. Liz is going to be there at the reunion. However, we find out that neither his mom nor his daughter agreed to be on. I don't think they approve of this relationship. We'll find out more about it next week. Now, depending on how juicy and long the next week's tell-all is, next week might be a longer recap at the end. but I'll give you the appropriate amount of time based on the content we get. Okay. So I can keep that promise to you. However, we've reached the end of this podcast now. Thank you so much for listening in. You can find me on Twitter, at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I stream there, you know, 3-4 times a week. Come through, say hi. And then at the end of this week, I will be talking the finale of Too Hot to Handle with Kirsten McInnes over on her wrap up. So if you come through, check us out there. And last but not least, if you could leave a rating or review for this podcast, it would mean a lot to me. It allows people to find us. It gives me feedback. And that's all I can ask for, really, is feedback and for people to find us and get aboard the Hot Mess Express with us. Ultimately, we want you to have the best journey on this express. And that's the best way for us to do so. All right. We have reached the end. We've reached the destination here. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week ahead of you. And we'll be back next week to talk more mess, more couples, hopefully less farts, hopefully less burps, and hopefully a lot of laughs. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.